drink some more. I want to get drunk off my ass.
Hey, what's up? This is Zed.
What up? I'm Afrojack.
Hey, guys. This is Vici.
Hey, it's Calvin Harris.
Hey, this is Borges.
Hey, I'm Dimitri Vegas.
And I'm like Mike.
Ready? One, two, three.
What's up? This is Stevie Aoki, and this is
the Beats and Booze Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the episode of Beats and Booze. I am Dramos, as always joined by Spirito.
Yo.
As well as Flips.
Yep.
We have, a special guest in the studio right now.
I guess.
Just because they're twins.
Our second favorite
Well, actually, first, more importantly, Worthy's going to be joining us on the show later on today.
Yes, Worthy will be here, yes.
But now we have our second favorite twins.
Second favorite twins.
We're not first, we're second.
Well, of course.
Second
favorite Have you hung out with the Nervous Twins?
Of course, honestly.
First. Yeah, come on. Anyway.
They're pretty great.
They're pretty awesome.
They actually come out.
I bet they are.
They do go out.
Yeah, they do.
They fuck, as we said.
not literally. For anybody, I don't think we've ever actually used that on the show.
No, we haven't.
No, I say they fuck as in like they hang. They, you know,
like this guy fucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm always so angry about it. Anyway, so yeah,
it's become a pregame ritual.
Lulu and Lala of the Beat of New York 103.5 KTU. There we go. So hot topic today. Hot topic. We need a female perspective.
Okay.
This is not really
the answer.
Just
together.
Get into it.
I mean, just get into it. All right. So
tiptoeing around.
I'm not tiptoeing around.
He's a little nervous. I think.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I'm not nervous.
There's pretty girls in the studio.
You're not usually like this.
We don't usually have girls.
Not usually like what? I'm talking.
You want to talk about it?
Oh my god.
Why are you not looking us in the face?
Yeah. Look them in the eyes.
There's a fucking monitor and four microphones in front of us over here.
He's nervous.
Okay. Anyway, guys, this is.
Just go.
Anyway, hot topic, guys. All right. So this is actually about women and dating, I guess. Right? Is this a dating concept?
Yeah, sure.
Right? Kind
of. It's the start of it.
Right.
Or could be the end of it.
Right. Okay. So well then, not really dating. Anyway. So this girl hit me up that I've known for a few years or whatever. I guess she broke up with her boyfriend and just hits me up like, hey, we should hang out, grab dinner one time, whatever. So I don't really think much of it. I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, we've been friends for a while type of thing. And I've just been busy, so I kind of been blown it off, whatever, a little bit.
Sure.
So she then DMs me on Instagram.
Oh, slid into the DMs.
Slid into the DM. Then starts sending me like pictures of her in like lingerie and stuff like that. Like to, you know. So, and then I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, so obviously I'm not, you know, somebody put themselves out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be nice. I'm like, oh, you look good, blah, blah.
She definitely wants a D.
No, but this is where, I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe whatever. It's fun.
She wants the dirty drama.
And then she's like, yeah, but do you like me for my body or do you actually really like me?
It's entrapment.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a thirst trap.
How do you answer that question? Because
it's thirst trap.
Because then now it's like, well, I've just shown you attention, so now I have to actually answer that question.
So what did you answer? I'm curious.
Yeah, what
know.
Did you answer?
I would love to know what you answered.
Oh, I skated around it. I basically.
What did you say?
I was a fucking
weather skater. Huh?
Yeah. But no. I was basically like, my answer was, we've known each other for a while now, so I think we're past that. So that's a very blanket, just like, no answer.
What did you really think? Yeah. What did you really want to answer if you wanted to be blunt?
If I was being 100% blunt, if it was anybody that wasn't like a friend, like I was like cool with it, I would have probably just been like, well, you just sent me like
a
picture in your lingerie, so I don't know what you,
so
else
clearly,
you want.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're looking for.
If I wanted to be blunt, I would say, no, I'm not interested in anything.
I don't even know you.
I'm not interested in your mind. I because we're friends, you sent me those pictures.
And that's that.
Yeah, you sent me those pictures. I was like, oh, cool. Like, if that's what you wanted to do,
that's
do it.
Like, looking for you just to rebound.
Yeah, she's
no, but then why you ask
attention.
What I think, like, do I really like you?
She wants to make herself feel better.
No,
yeah.
but then she goes off on this. God, she's probably gonna listen to this. It's fucking bad. So she goes off on this thing, like, you know, I've always had a crush on you.
Oh boy.
And this thing, and I'm just like, yeah, I've always thought you're cool too. And then like,
it feels like he's shooting him down rather than actually shooting her down.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because I'm leaving the door open for whatever, but I'm trying to close the door subtly without hurting somebody's feelings.
Sure.
As a woman, am I supposed to just be blunt to you and say, listen?
Yes. I think
you're full of shit if that's
not full of shit. I could only speak for myself, but I would rather a man just be brutally honest with me and just be like, hey, like, I just want ass, yes, no, or hey.
Okay,
done.
First of all, you wouldn't say it like that, Lala.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is because I hate it when guys, like,
speaking to the mic,
have balls and just be man enough to say really what you think.
No,
and not dance around.
Can
it.
I speak?
Sure.
Lala? Yes, you're right, but at the same time, we are women and we do analyze everything. So if you're gonna be blunt,
you
gotta do it in a way where you're not gonna make her feel like she's a piece of crap. So you just say, listen, I think we've known each other for a long time. I'm not interested in anything serious. Let's just fool around. And with those words, she should get the hint.
Right.
Okay, this isn't serious.
You would think she would get the hint.
She would think so. I don't know. But the following message
after.
But at
least you're safe.
Right.
You said you're Ed.
Right. Yeah. But this is where it comes down to. I'm safe, but then I'm still a dick. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When you see it, she's going to be like, oh, this fucking guy.
Naturally,
without that, but
that's
yes.
That's her problem. Yeah. She wants to see it like
that. She put herself out there. You blew her down, and so she's going to be like,
see, but this is the problem with women. I'm going to generalize this for a second. All right.
Let's do it.
I'm going to generalize it because I feel like women say they want the truth, but then when you give them the truth, they don't ever want the truth.
Or it's never the truth.
They want to believe what they want to believe about this person. Like, oh, I could change him. I could do this. I could do that. And then it's like, no, I'm pretty sure most guys are, if you at least look at their actions, are pretty straightforward about what type of dude they actually are. You know what I mean? There's no real like hiding if you're a scumbag, you're a douchebag, you do this or that, right? To a degree. Maybe you can get a girl into bed by lying to her.
How old are you?
29.
Okay, so you should already know with the experience that you quote unquote
here we go. Let's
have
go. Let's
with,
go.
With
the
women,
air quotations.
Hit me with
okay.
The,
you okay. Should know flying already sentence. How women are. Yes, sometimes we're emo. Sometimes we take things out of context. So you should know how to work around that and tell a girl what it is without, you know, making her feel like shit.
But I feel like that's what I was doing by not being overly blunt and saying, no, I do actually like you. And I'm not lying to get her into bed. I'm not saying, yeah, listen, you know what, I mean, do like you.
If you want to put it in like, you know, I don't want to be super general, but I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Talking to girls, you know, whether you're 40 or 20 or 29, it's like you would think out of 29 years on the planet talking to the opposite sex, you would have some sort of like semblance of an idea of like how to work it and how to talk to them.
I'm completely fucking clueless.
Right.
That's for sure. But
literally every girl, it's like, it's not like, oh, okay, I've been playing football for 10 years and like, oh, okay, I'm playing a different team, but I still know the game. No, it's like you're playing a different sport altogether with every different girl.
Exactly. I can see that. Funny.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying
it.
And it's a,
very well because
you think you're playing football and she's playing fucking like Baccarat. like you don't even know what field she's on.
Because you know this girl, right? But you've known her for a while. You guys have been friends or
whatever. But not like besties, but like acquaint. Like she'll come out like and hang out. Like we're DJing or like my crew of friends from back home when I was first starting to like DJ and stuff. We would all kind of.
But you have somewhat of an idea of what this girl's all about.
I think she's sensitive. I think she'll take it in a way like, wow, he is a dick.
So then why entertain the conversation?
Do you care if she thinks?
No, I do. I don't want to because I don't like
nobody
not
likes
being, like,
being
yeah,
a dick.
I don't want to be a dick to somebody. That's not a fair thing, especially if you are taking the time to like you know, put yourself out there to me, even if it is in like a sexual manner. And maybe you should have done it the other way if you wanted something serious.
Yeah, I mean, don't come off the bat with like the attention seeking tendencies.
Right.
If you're trying to see if he's into you for you.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you guys. Yeah. That, if she really wanted something serious, then
somebody air quotes. Somebody air quotes.
I was gonna keep a counter on the GoPro.
No, but it's you know, I'm being 100. If she wanted something serious, you don't go through the DM because everybody knows what that means.
True.
You know, that's
true.
Problem solved.
Story.
She is out of her mind, and
she's not out of her mind.
Question here
you blew
is:
it.
Are you gonna
it.
Continue to entertain? Yeah. Her conversation.
I mean, to be completely honest,
is Dirty Dramos gonna come out?
Dirty Dramos retired. If it's
bullshit.
Dirty Dramos retires until about
playing?
Three drinks, and then he starts thinking about coming
out
of retirement.
No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit because honestly,
Number five, he's full on Jay-Z. I'm back, bitches.
Bro,
what's up?
The last few times we've been out, I've been completely.
Yeah, you
different.
Have been good.
I've been so bro-y. It's fucking disgusting if you ask me. It's
true.
Like I've had no interest in even noticing. If there was any females in the room, I've been enjoying you fucking idiots.
Yeah, well, when we go out with the crew, we do get bro.
That's what I'm
like
saying.
Enjoy
but
each other's company.
No, are you gonna entertain the conversation? Yes or no?
All right, you know. Now I'll keep it for real. If we were out, like if I was out, if I was somewhere DJing, she came, hung out, blah blah. Then yeah, maybe like I would. That's all would be.
Right.
To be perfectly honest, so I don't know. It's not that interesting to me. You know what I mean? And it's not because she put it out there like that. That
there's no chase.
Eh, I don't know.
You like the chase.
Everyone likes the chase.
I debate on the chase, though. I don't know.
So
I
like part of it.
Fuck the chase.
I like to eat.
Blitz is like, I just want to go to the buffet and choose what I want.
I like the chase in a club. Like, to me, that's, in all honesty, we're joking about, like, how when
well,
I used
like,
to go.
Dramas likes the chase in DJs.
Because you could find true love
no,
chasing someone.
No,
there's not much of a chase in DJs.
I wasn't looking for true love. No, but that's the thing about DJs is, when we were, if we were, like, parked in that corner, like, the fun
true.
Part about going out there was, how long can you keep the streak up of just sitting in a corner and a girl ends up coming up to you and wanting to go home with you? That's, like, the funny part about this whole thing.
That's what Dramos does. I don't do that.
Get the fuck. You're right next to me in the same corner. Beforehand,
yeah,
a girlfriend
look at you.
before he had a girlfriend.
I love this. I'm
before he had a girlfriend. No.
Keep talking.
Shut up. this is no. What I'm saying is, there are times where I would even just do the chase part and not even leave with the person because I already got what I wanted. Yeah. I got the satisfaction knowing if I wanted to take this girl home, I could take this girl home.
True.
How do you know?
Because she's all. Come on.
Come on.
Girl, generally speaking, girls aren't that forward.
What about if she's doing the same thing to you?
Yeah.
What? Cool.
Playing the little game. Like,
yeah, okay, but either way, we're both winning, I guess.
Yeah, everybody wins. Yeah,
no, well, I mean,
that's a win-win.
It is. We're both proving to ourselves.
Like, that's a lose-lose to me.
You know how women
you
fake
two playing at each other.
Stuff?
Yeah, and then nothing happens. Yeah. What a waste.
Yeah, but if both parties didn't want to have anything happen, that's a win-win.
Ramos chose that nothing.
Bro, I
love the fact that he thinks that he is the one that made that decision.
Do I have to break it down because.
So they're not gonna get it.
These guys though, there are plenty of times where I'm just like, I'm gonna go home and go to sleep because I would and instead of hanging out with some girl who's hitting me up to go hang out, like that's more valuable
especially
to
on
me.
Sundays.
Sundays is underwear on the couch. I'm not answering your fucking text message. I have no interest in picking you up somewhere. I'm not doing anything. You know,
I'm gonna purposely text you on a Sunday.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you go fuck yourself. Or I know what it is.
In the group chat. Most of the time I ignore everything.
I get anxiety from that group chat. It's too much. Too many text messages. But yeah, no, I don't know. You guys, these like they think that guys are like all thirsty and like we're all just like.
I didn't say that. I didn't say all guys. I said
you're thinking. Oh,
you.
I like how none of you idiots are coming to my fucking back here.
I mean,
right,
listen,
talk about boys, right, bros?
I mean, we could generalize girls, they could generalize us. It's right. Just going to be, we're on opposite ends of the field here. But
we still need each other.
We still need each other. And at the end of the day, like, there are certain times where, you know, I know my friends and, you know, me personally, when I was single, that there's like, you know, there's nights like I just don't give a fuck. Like, I don't want to talk to people. I just want to, like,
go out. It's a process.
Yeah.
Do I want to take, then we do what we do, and it's a cool for a couple minutes or whatever it is. Whatever ends up happening, they're gonna fucking pit tear that minute, a couple minutes apart.
Okay,
I
you take a girl home, you have that one night stand, then what?
And then go to sleep. Hopefully she stops talking so you can sleep.
No. You let her sleep the night.
My mom will offer her breakfast. And then that'll be the
end
of that.
No, fuck that. What do you wake up? I'll drive them home, or if I'm like, I don't want to spend any more time with them because they're just out of their minds, I'll get them an Uber, I think is what the move is.
Okay,
that's very. Still classy. That's still nice. Classy. I'm not like you're on your own piece. You know, not like that.
Here's some cab fare.
I've never had a one night stand, and I don't think I ever will. But I don't think I could be that girl that rolls over the next morning and be like waiting for you to, you know, call me an Uber.
Right. Why? What else am I supposed to do?
Go again.
Do you want to do brunch? I mean,
it's morning. Let's go.
Why am I going to drag this thing out longer?
I think if I ever had a one night stand, I would sneak out.
Actually preferred, to be honest with you. As long as she doesn't steal anything, I'm all about like pretending I'm sleeping and she just sneaks out the door. I've had that happen before where I heard her getting up and I just pretended like I was sleeping, but I kept a corner of my eye open,
that's fine.
Like to make sure my watch was still on the table.
Make sure she's not stealing shit.
We're good. So now we're going to get into our interview with Worthy. Thanks, twins.
You're welcome.
Make sure you check out the twins at Lulu Ilala, which is a Y, right? The Spanish way.
Yes. Spanish.
First, we're going to get into some music from our guest, Worthy. On the Floor featuring Kevin Knapp, the Anabatic 10-Year Remix.
All up on the flow. 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 On the flow. On the flow.
Hustle. On the flow. Concerted hustle. Phone the flow. Phone the flow. Concerted hustle. All up on the flow. 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 Concerted hustle. All up on the flow. All up on the flow. All up on the flow. Concerted hustle. All up on the flow. All up on the flow. All up on the flow.
Feel it. Get your blood pumping. Let's get excited.
Woo! Hey, what's up? This is Mim.
I'm Liv.
We're Nervo, and make sure you follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Beats and Booze.
And now we have Worthy join us in the studio. Welcome, man.
What's up, man?
What's up, guys? Glad to be here.
Yes, it's nice to have you. We shared a little burger prior to this.
Yeah, that was a sweet burger, guys. Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling nice and full now.
Did you get the double?
Nah, just the single.
Just the regular?
All right, that's all okay. I needed.
That's it. Do
yeah,
you.
He literally gets here in the lobby and we whisk him away.
Yeah, it's our favorite hole-in-the-wall burger. Yeah.
Come on, we're getting burgers.
Yes.
So for anybody who's not super familiar with it, you kind of want to give us a quick little rundown kind of about you, your whole story a little bit?
I came up with Dirty Bird Records, which has, you know, Claude Von Stroke, Justin Martin, Christian Martin, and we all kind of started a party in San Francisco in about 2003, and, you know, we started a record label after that shortly, and everybody's just kind of blown up and become, you know, pretty world-famous DJs, and yeah, so now I'm just kind of touring the world now and being a DJ, being a musician. And
no big deal. Awesome. No big deal.
You know, it's funny about, like, there's so many iconic parties, like, around the time when you guys started, you know, parties, and then there's other ones like the Dim Mock Tuesdays or whatever at Cinespace, and, you know, definitely. Diplo had his in Philly and things like that. But the one thing I've kind of been thinking about now is kind of how EDM or what dance music, whatever you want to call it, is so big now. Like, do you think a part, like, those kind of parties can still exist and thrive and cause, like, a scene like they did when you were starting up?
I would think so. I mean, I always tell people, like, if you're coming up now, it's like, get together with some friends and, you know, and try and create, like, a party or, like, or something, you know, because that's the way to do it. You get yourself surrounded by some, like, really good people, and then boom, you blow up, and then, but I they have to be going on, you know?
Yeah.
It has to keep on happening.
Well, that's our move. We're trying to start one.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But it's tough. I mean,
we're trying to start several things.
But it's tough.
Can't even get a website to go.
It's gone.
I need the website.
I'm on it this week.
Get the party going first.
Yeah, exactly.
Worry about the website after.
Website, nobody cares about the website.
We just start drinking vodka, and then we forget about the website.
Speaking of,
you know what? Let's take our shot.
Let's take this shot.
Let's do this, guys. All right?
Salute.
Salute. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Oh, those are big boy shots.
Woo. Yeah, I made them pretty big there. Sorry.
That was good.
Hiya.
That'll get you.
You want to take us through, like, the early days of Dirty Bird? What was it was like when you guys were kind of just starting everything up?
Oh, man. I mean, well, our first party, I think we had about, like, 20 or 30 just of our friends there.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, we'd bring out this sound system that Christian Martin had bought, and we brought out to the park, and we're just like, oh, we're going to have a barbecue and play some music, and we'll see what happens. And we did it like maybe like three times that year, and we totally did it illegally, no permits.
Did anybody bust your balls about it? Like,
I don't know. Somehow we got away with it. We got away with it for years. Like, nobody said anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I think it was like the second year we were doing it, all of a sudden, like, every party would double in size. Yeah. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, we had like 1,000 people there, and we're just like, holy crap, this is insane. You know,
we're
like, oh, wow, we got something going here, you know, that people are just really loving. So, and then just like, yeah, I mean, the rest is history. It's just like, shit, crazy, you know. Now we play everywhere. there's Dirty Bird, you know, barbecues all over the country now.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy because it's such like an iconic brand now. I feel
for
like,
sure,
within dance music, you know, and it's funny to hear just like the humble beginnings of something like that, or mm-hmm. just a couple friends like, let's just, you know, use somebody's sound system. You know?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, that's how it goes. You just, yeah, you get like somebody who's like, okay, let's have a party and sure. see what happens. And
so for shit. You, like, how did you get into DJing and then eventually production?
For DJing, I was playing in bands like in high school and stuff. Yeah. So I came here to New York City, to Fordham University. That's where I went. And
nice.
I got
nice.
Taken out to a dance club. And I was just like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I'd never heard anything like that. And it was just like,
it's always
like,
that way.
It snapped. And then I was just like, wait a minute, you can like make music and you don't have to like get like four or five people together.
Exactly.
I was like,
I grew up in the same type of background bands, and that's what like got me. Uh-huh. It was like, this is awesome. I could do this by myself. And
Don't have to worry about any jerk offs.
Like,
missing band practice.
Oh, you're not showing up. God damn.
Yeah, exactly.
We got no drums tonight. Great.
Exactly. So, like, what did you play in the bands? Like, what was your instrument?
I played guitar, a little bit of bass, and yeah, and sometimes I'd jump on the drums and a couple of things. But I had a, like, you know, a group of friends where we just, you know, I was like, you know, I think there was like eight of us who were just music nerds, you know, and we just like all kind of just mess around, see what we could do, and have like a bunch of like little bands, different band names when we were all in different formations. Right. So, you know, that's how it went. And
ever played the flute? We had Jonas Blue up here.
He's a big flute.
He's a
flutist.
He's a flautist.
Yeah.
He's a flautist.
Is that the name?
Yes. That's what the flute player is called, a flautist.
I love that.
When you first started going, like when you first experienced that, like, you know, nightclub scene, like, I'm sure you went out, you were like, this is dope. And then like just your world exploded. Like, who was some of the first artists like you were checking out, like that kind of like really got you into the scene?
I mean, back then it was listening to like Sasha and Digweed. They were playing at Twilo back then, and it was also right at the beginning of the Jungle Explosion.
Right.
So I was like listening to Ronnie Size and DJ Crust and Diesel Boy. That was like the first like thing that really got me was jungle music, just because I was playing in like rock bands and punk rock bands, and that kind of had like that same vibe of just kind of like, you know, fast and you know, crazier sounds and not as as vibey. Yeah, so back then those were like the people that I was listening to.
Yeah, I mean, I always find it interesting because it's like when I first started up, like there was definitely like a certain amount of artists that I listened to that like started bringing me down different avenues.
Well,
but
it was smaller back then too. It was like a lot lesser. Like,
you only had LimeWire to get songs really going.
LimeWire.
To destroy your entire computer just to download one song.
When Siesta song, your whole computer explodes.
And Napster, of course.
Napster.
BearShare. BearShare is another one I use.
FrostWire.
God, there's so many good. So
SoulSeek.
Yeah, exactly.
SoulSeek's still going too.
Is it really?
You did hear it here.
So, I mean, kind of going back to like the early days of the Dirty Bird parties, do you have like a memory of like some of the craziest shit you've seen like back then?
Yeah, there's got
to
be some wild nights.
Well, yeah, those are wild days back then. You know, and I don't know. I mean, like.
Oh, he's got something in
there. Yeah. Should I even tell that story?
Tell it. This is a safe place.
Safe haven here.
Well, there was like one time that somebody brought a giant golf cart, but like one of those pedal ones, you know?
Right.
The pedal.
Right.
So, uh-huh. Four people, and we're on this hill. So there was a time when just somebody like jumped into like, in this golf cart and just kind of like came down the hill and just went right through the middle of the crowd.
Oh my God. See, that's what makes like shit like that fun, though. It's like,
so great.
There's no rules whatsoever. And
people are acting wild.
Yeah, there's going to be that one person just pushes everything way further than it needs to be. And that's what makes these kinds of parties so great. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just, you know, different times. You know, there's one time I like somehow everybody got me to get dressed up as, we had like the old Dirty Bird mascot. I don't know if people know this, but there used to be like this mascot, and I somehow got like talked into like, and I was probably wasted too.
Yeah.
Like, get dressed in the Dirty Bird. I was like in the middle of summer, like, get dressed in the mascot and go dance in the crowd. And came out of like the woods, like just like this big fur costume, walking in the crowd, and everybody's just like jumping on me and like trying to take pictures. That's and I'm so just like great. Sweating up. It was like 150 degrees in that thing.
Having a heat stroke in there.
Yeah. Just dying, and people are like, oh my God,
it's the Dirty Bird. That's awesome. Well, let's get into one of your songs. We're going to play Keep Me Up. You want to tell us a little bit about kind of how this whole thing came together?
Yeah, this is the first song I put out with a record label in Berlin called Exploited.
Nice.
The Claptones on there, they're pretty big. And I just kind of came up with this super kind of heady melody that turned into like just a really nice different song and different kind of sound for me.
Yeah.
So a little bit more heady and deep.
Nice.
Not so much the Dirty Bird sound.
Yeah.
It's kind of more housey, you know, so a little bit different.
I like it. Well, let's get into it. This this is Worthy with Keep Me Up on Beats and Blues.
Come keep me up on that.
Talking off air for a second there about some crazy festivals and you know big parties, and you were just on Holy Ship.
Yeah.
How was that?
Because that's something we're all jealous of.
We've been talking about it for years.
I feel like that's the one thing I haven't gone on yet.
Wait, let's get one more shot in him.
Let's
get one more shot about that.
So we can get a better story.
If I get a better story, man.
Cheers.
Salute.
Oh, yeah. Stuff.
Shout out to our sponsor, Kvata Vodka.
Yes.
Light up your life responsibility.
Responsibility?
Responsibility?
Vodka's very effective.
It's fine. It's working quickly.
That one didn't go down so well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that one went better than first. Yeah. I really can't talk.
I guess so.
Jesus. Two more and it'll be going down nice and easy.
That's it.
So, holy shit. Yeah, let's get dive right into it. Describe it for anybody who hasn't done it before.
Doesn't know what it is.
So it's basically a giant rave on a cruise ship for 4 days. I don't know how else you put it. You know?
That's it.
And the music
sounds like home.
Yeah. Music's pretty much going nonstop. You know, I think there's maybe like a 4 hour break.
Right. Six a.m. to 8 a.m. or something.
Something like that. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of just different like little rooms, and they got you can gamble on the boat, and from down in a. Down in Florida, and you go down into the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and they have a private island party in the middle.
Oh, that's dope. Wow. So you actually get off the ship and go to
you got to get on a private island.
That's sick.
We were supposed to stop in Nassau, but it was a little too stormy, so they wouldn't let us get off. But that was okay, because you got enough music and you got crazy people. Enough bars to keep you busy.
As long as booze and music, you really don't need to even get off the ship.
I don't even think people notice. They're like, we're supposed to get off? Yeah.
How many DJs were on the ship?
Oh, man. I'm going to guess around between 30 and 40.
Wow. Pretty much everybody you could think of for the most part, which is crazy.
Now, I'm curious because it's a 4 day thing, and it's like you said, it's like pretty much 24 hours. It's like, there's music nonstop. Do you feel like there's more energy at the beginning of the ship or the end of the trip, ship?
The voyage.
Yeah, that's fine. The voyage. The journey.
I honestly didn't understand the question. So.
I'll interpret the vodka.
People get worn out.
From the beginning when the first set sail to when you're getting ready to dock.
There you go.
Head back to the mainland. Do you find that people are just dead by the last couple of days and the energy's kind of dying down?
I mean, definitely more energy at the start because everybody's just, amped to get on there. Yeah. Just I'm finally on the boat, Everybody, it takes, a minute to get onto the boat.
Yeah.
And then it takes a couple hours just for the music to get started.
Sure, yeah.
Before they, take off and you got to do all these drills and stuff.
Safety stuff.
And then the music starts and everybody's just, really amped up. And people are just getting, going really for it. And then by the end, I was pretty burned out, but everybody else seemed to be okay. There was definitely people. I talked to a couple guys, and they're like, "Yeah, I was partying right to the end, coming out the boat."
Because I feel like, especially with 3 day festivals or something like that, they save the biggest headliners for the last day. But it's people are worn out by then. 3 days of going to a festival, I feel is it different on the boat? Do they kind of rank the parties, or just free for all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of they got a lot of just different cool little parties going on, and they have a top level, that's outside that's going on. Those are really big stages, and they got a couple little tinier clubs downstairs.
Right.
And, I mean, some of them are pretty big, actually.
How big is this fucking ship?
Yeah, it's like a huge cruise line.
It's massive, It's 4,000 people on it.
What?
Yeah.
How many stages?
That's a college
outside.
On a boat.
Inside of there, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they have about 5 stages inside.
Wow.
And then two up, two in the top of the ship.
God.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. But I mean, the cool thing is, it's not always the same. They make sure they don't play the same two DJs at the same time.
Uh huh.
So, everybody's playing multiple sets. So you're like, I didn't see him that time because I want to see this person. I go over there and see him this time.
Yeah,
that's good.
And Destructo, really, really encourages everybody to get up and play with different DJs. He wants people to come in so you see some different back-to-backs
that you would never see
at another party.
What's one of the cool sets that you actually got to see when you were just hanging out? One of your favorite ones of this trip?
I mean, the coolest one was probably Destructo does this warning set called the Sermon.
Yeah.
That's just and everybody's there on the ship. It's the only thing going on. I think all the other rooms are pretty much done. It's just every DJ is on the ship just hanging out. And
that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Everybody's wasted. Clown on Stroke was just super freaking goofy with a crazy hat on, running out into the middle of the audience and dancing and getting crazy. And people are,
It's like summer camp, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of like summer camp.
It's like sleepaway camp for a bunch of crazy ravers.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would love to go to that camp so badly.
Isn't it like these days, like you have to be like grandfathered in kind of, right?
Yeah.
I think the people who like actually have to buy tickets, it's like a
So basically, how do we get on the ship? Yeah.
How big of a luggage do you travel with?
How do we get Gary's number to get access to buy a ticket?
Put a word in for us.
I know. I don't even know. People are asking me. I'm like, I don't know. I got lucky. I got the flight this year.
That's awesome. You want to tell us about Anna Back? That's your label?
Yeah, started 10 years ago somehow. And wow. Which is crazy because I just kind of started as a label that I could just kind of put a couple of my songs out on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I did a couple releases, then people started sending me music. Wow. I wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm starting a label. I'm going to really go and start a label. Uh-huh. I was just like, I just want to make a place. And that was also this, you know, right when like kind of Beeport was starting and I knew people and they were kind of looking for labels. I'm like, yeah, I'll start a label. I'll put some stuff out on there. Yeah. And then, yeah, so it's been like 10 years and I've had the opportunity to put out, like, help break artists like Will Clark, Kill Frenzy, Joyce Muniz, like Eats Everything's been on there. Justin Martin, Christian Martin, Nick Monica. I mean, it's just like a long list of artists. So
crazy.
Decided, we should put a comp together and show what we've done for the last 10 years.
Best of.
Yeah, I mean, well, how have you seen, like, from a label perspective, things have changed in dance music over the last 10 years? Because obviously 10 years ago, that's pretty early on, at least here in the States.
10 years, CDs were still around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, obviously that's a gigantic change. But,
huge.
Like, how have you seen, I guess, the industry change from your label perspective?
Well, I mean, I feel like everything's so much so digital now. Back then, like when I was starting, it was kind of like, it was right in the like switch over.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, just like in general, like this scene has just changed so much and it's just, it's so vibrant and it's so cool to like see America really finally embrace it. Cause back then it was like, oh, if like you're not in Europe, like, you know, like Europe was like, it was very mainstream. You come over here and it was just like, you're like, when is it going to break here? You know? I know it's going to happen at some point.
I mean, it's true.
It's funny how big everything's gotten.
No, I mean, like, all right, so it's 2017. So 2007, like it was like just like that. I've been into dance music for years and years and years, but when I was listening to it back in 2007, everybody was like, what the fuck are you listening to, dude? Like, what is this techno shit? I'm like, all right, first of all, it's not techno. Like, whole rampage on that. But yeah, it's nice that everybody kind of caught on finally.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, all these like festivals, these giant festivals, I could you know, if you ask me, like, can I ever imagine these humongous stages with DJs playing? I would be like, no way.
Can you ever imagine a 4-day cruise ship?
No,
or a 4-day cruise ship for that matter.
Even in 2007, like, that's unheard of. You know? It's just crazy.
It's amazing how far it's come. But dude, thank you so much, man, for coming by. It was a pleasure meeting you and sharing a burger. So I mean, plug your socials, plug, you know, where can people find more about Anabatic as well as you know, your personal endeavors?
I'm up on Facebook under DJ Worthy, and Anabatic is there under Anabatic Records. Twitter, I have a really crazy handle, so I'm not even gonna try and say it, but if you look I'm on there. And you know, Instagram, it's Worthy.
Nice. So
you got Worthy on Instagram?
It's Worthy.
It's Worthy. Okay. I was to say, good God, how did you get that early on in the date?
Yeah.
With that one, you have like people with like their real name on like Snapchat and they can't get it, or like a random DJ name.
Yeah, we get that all the time. They're like, yeah, somebody has our name, and it's like, who honestly like got that before you did?
Yeah, isn't Steve Aoki Aoki Steve?
Yeah, somebody has somebody took Steve Aoki.
It's ridiculous.
It's like, what? Who even thinks of that? But dude, thanks again, man. We really appreciate it. You're awesome, dude. Yeah. Wish you the best of luck with everything.
Good times being here, guys. Thanks for having me.
The Beats and Booze Podcast.
Nailed it.